All right, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, beginning with verse number 21. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
That's a good amen. So, the Bible says there in verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete. That is an old-fashioned, I told you so. You should have hearkened unto me, you should have listened to me, and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss. But he says in verse 22, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. In other words, he's saying, ain't nobody going to die, but the ship ain't going to make it. For there stood by me, he said, this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And this is what the angel said to him. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Paul says to those around him, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told unto me. And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask that you bow your heads. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing this morning to minister the word. Father, we are grateful this morning that we have had the opportunity right now together here in this place to worship and to glorify and to praise and to honor you. I ask, Lord, as we come to the reading of your word and we begin to look into your scripture, that you would touch our hearts. Let us have liberty in the house of God this morning to expound the word of God. I pray, Father, that you would touch me and help me to be effective in ministering your word. Anoint me. Without you, I can do nothing. Anoint me this morning to speak as an instrument and as a vessel in the palm of your hand. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to empower what is spoken through these lips of clay, that you would let it go forth and that you would let it fall upon ears that are touched of the Holy Spirit to hear what the Spirit says to the church. That you would allow us to not just hear with the natural ear, O God, but that you would allow us to hear way down deep in our spirit and hear the Spirit's calling this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding and give revelation to our hearts. And for all of these things, Lord, we will be grateful and we will be thankful and we will acknowledge you throughout eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, You May Be Required to Swim. You may be required to swim. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful this morning if we were always on top of the world? Wouldn't it be great if we could go through life 100% of the time with every situation, every circumstance, every problem solved and everything to our personal liking? Sounds good. Utopia. Wouldn't it be great? But I believe this morning that we all understand from our own life's experiences that life does not always come in a neatly wrapped package. Life does not always come in a neatly wrapped package that everything just simply goes our way. How many of you have found that to be true? And if you're here this morning and everything is worked out exactly, I want to just rub my arm against yours and see if some of it will rub off on me. Life does not come in a neatly... Oh, yes, there are days where there is sunshine and there are days and moments when we all seemingly walk upon the mountaintops and we are walking in victory, amen, and our faith is strong and we are, amen, filled with expectancy and hope and we are looking forward, and those times are wonderful, but there are also times when our faith is challenged. And everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And our faith is, amen, challenged and tested. And we look around and whatever, I mean, it seems like everything falls apart. There are moments when we walk on the mountain, but are there not moments when we all seemingly have to walk through a valley? Amen. There are moments and times when we have to walk through the valley experiences, when our faith is tested and we are tried and we are seemingly troubled on every hand. Everything that could go wrong does go wrong, and our faith is challenged before the Lord. Last Sunday, my wife made mention as she was conducting our service that sometimes bad things happen to good people. How many of you know that's true? That's absolutely the truth. And if you are not sure you believe that statement, ask Job. Good guy, bad situation. If you're not sure about that statement, ask Joseph. Not just one thing bad happened, but a series of bad things have taken place in his life. As a matter of fact, if you look at the first half of his life, you certainly wouldn't want to call him lucky. Good man, bad situation. Ask the children of Israel. Or the children, the three Hebrew children, do you remember their story? Cast into a fiery furnace, all because they would not bend and they would not bow. Sometimes bad things happen to very good, very godly people. Mm-hmm. And it is during those times when our faith is tested and we are challenged. There are days when there is sunshine and there is victory and there is expectantly, but there are also times when the storm clouds begin to move in and the sky grows dark and the sun refuses to shine and the winds of adversity begin to blow and we feel like we are walking against the wind. We have all been there. We have all been there. Anxiety and uncertainty, amen, begins to fill our spirit, and the winds of conflict and challenge and change begin to blow against our lives, amen. And there are often times when we feel as though that we are about to go under and we feel like we just might as well give up. Anybody ever felt that way? Amen. I read the little Peanuts comic strip this last week, and Charlie Brown says to Lucy, he says, I've got so many problems. If one more thing happens today, amen, he said, I am not going to be able to worry about it for 2 weeks. I can identify. Can you identify? We all this morning have challenges, and there are times when trouble comes into our life. Let me just give you three absolute facts concerning trouble this morning. Number one, either you have just gone through a storm, or number two, you are smack dab in the middle of a storm, or number three, you're headed straight for a storm. That's life. Amen. That is absolutely light. And I will tell you another little thing right under that this morning. Being a Christian with strong faith does not exempt us from trouble. Let me say that again. Being a Christian with strong, amen, even super faith does not exempt us from trials. It does not exempt us from trouble. Amen. I believe this morning that we do others a great injustice if we leave the impression, amen, and we leave the impression in their life that becoming a Christian automatically exempts them from experiencing trouble and difficulties in their life. We do them a great injustice if we leave the impression that all they need to do is give their heart to Jesus and everything will come up smelling like roses. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you said, Lord, I do, the devil said, I do too. And I'm going to do everything I can to discourage them. Amen. We give them the wrong impression. Jesus, when he comes into our hearts, he brings many, many wonderful gifts. Amen. When we are born again, he brings salvation and clothes us with the robe of righteousness, writes our name in the Lamb's book of life, makes us an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one of the gifts that he does not bring. He does not bring the promise of a perpetual tranquility, amen, that is free from storms and free from trouble and free from trials into our life. We are all either in it, amen, we're going through it, or we're headed right toward it. That is the nature of human life. There are no trouble-free relationships. Amen. There are no jobs that are free of frustration. There are no marriages that are free from discouragement. Amen. There are no marriages that are free from disappointments. Amen. There is no simple answer to the financial, amen, battle that we all face each and every day. Amen. Sometimes, for various reasons, even though we may have good intentions, amen, sometimes we may set a lofty goal, but sometimes we fail and fall short. But we should not allow our failure to be fatal. And we should not allow our failure to rob us of our faith. Amen. Hold on to your faith this morning. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse number 33, he said, In this world, you shall have tribulation. And that ain't the end of the verse. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, amen, that are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, storms are going to come, trials are going to come, and just because we are going through a storm, it does not mean that God is not there and that he's not aware of what we're going through. The truth of the matter is that God does not always remove the storm. Now let that sink into your spirit for a minute. The truth of the matter is God does not always remove the storm. Let me give you another one. God does not always step out on the bow of the boat and say, peace, be still, and just bring tranquility and calm into our hearts. You remember when the disciples were going through the storm and the boat was being rocked and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus just simply got up and said, peace, be still. And the storm ceased. The winds quit blowing. The waves quit rocking the boat. And everything just smoothed out. But I'm going to tell you something. God does not always say, peace, be still. He does not always calm our storm. Amen. We must understand that God does not always remove the storm, and God does not always take, the storm away, but there are times when God has us walk right through the middle of the storm, right through the middle of the problem. Some people, listen to me for a moment this morning, some people never survive their storms because they are expecting God to step out on the bow of their vessel and say, "Peace be still." They are expecting the sun to immediately shine. They are expecting the waves to immediately cease. They're expecting God, amen, to do something supernatural in their life, amen. And they end up drowning in the storm because they don't recognize or realize God does not always calm the storm. Sometimes he takes us right smack dab through the middle of it. He does not promise that he will remove every storm. This is what he promised. He said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." He didn't promise that he would take the storm in every life away every time. No, what he promised was, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You may feel like you're going through hell. You may feel like you're going through high water. You may feel like you're going under. But child of God, I got your hand. Hallelujah. And sometimes right in the midst of our storm, he will require us to swim. How many of you this morning ever got in trouble in the water? And you went to thrashing, trying to keep your head up above the water. You knew you were in a mess, and you just kept on swimming and trying with everything you had. Sometimes, right in the midst of our storm, instead of him stepping out on the bow of the boat and saying, "Peace, be still," he just says, "You're going to be required to swim. I'm with you. You're not going down, but you're going to have to swim, son. You're going to have to swim, daughter." Our text this morning is a wonderful example. Paul the apostle has been arrested. He has been, if you read this 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul has been arrested for preaching the gospel. It has been determined that he must stand before Caesar, and he at this time is a prisoner. He is a prisoner, and he has been loaded onto a boat or a ship that is sailing toward Rome. If you read that 27th chapter, the Bible says, amen, in verse number 37, that there were a total of 276 men on board. 276 climb aboard. Some of them are sailors, some of them are soldiers, and some of them are prisoners that are headed to Rome. Paul is one of them. And if you read the text carefully, you will find out that before they ever set sail, Paul told them, "This is not a good idea." Paul told them, "I believe that we should not sail because we are going to suffer harm." Look at verse number 10. Paul says, "Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the ship, but also of our lives." Paul specifically, plainly told them, "We had better just stay in port because sailing is a bad idea." in spite of his warnings. If you look at verse number 11, it says, nevertheless, the guard believed the captain or the owner of the ship. Amen. More than those things which were spoken by Paul. In other words, amen, the captain of the ship looked at the preacher and said, you don't know what you are talking about. Amen. I have sailed these waters and I know it looks like a good time to sail. Paul said, I'm telling you right now, it may look like a good time to sail, but there is trouble up ahead and we better not go. And the captain of the guard, or those that were guarding the prisoners, believed the captain more than they believed Paul. And the Bible says they set sail, and not long afterwards, there arose, the Bible tells us, a hurricane kind of wind. It was such a strong wind that they could not control the ship. It was such a strong wind that it blew them literally off course. Scripture tells us that the waves and the wind was so powerful that they could not control, and they were completely at the mercy of the wind. They were completely at the mercy of the storm. Look at verse number 20. Acts 27, verse number 20, and it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, that means that after many days they hadn't seen the sun and they hadn't seen the stars. All they had seen was splashing water and wind against their face. And no small tempest, the King James says, lay upon us. And I listen to the last part of that 20th verse. And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, just imagine for a moment in the theater of your mind. You have been handcuffed, bound, and you have a guard over you, and you have been loaded onto a boat, not of your free will, but you have been loaded onto a boat, and we are sailing, and then all of a sudden, you hit this hurricane storm, and nobody can control the vessel. Nobody can control the boat. And many days go by, and there hadn't been any sunshine by day and no stars by night. And the wind is still blowing, and the waves are still crashing against the side of the boat. And it looks like all hope is lost. The Bible says all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They were doomed. 276 men in jeopardy of their lives. And the sun refused to shine. The wind refused to stop blowing. And the waves refused to stop beating against the side of the boat. And they are being tossed and turned out in the middle of the ocean. How many of you have ever been in the middle of the ocean on a vessel? I remember years ago, this was back when I was singing secular music, but I had made a trip to Alaska. We'd caught a ferry from Ketchikan, and we were headed over to the island of Prince of Wales. And we loaded onto this little ferry called the Chilcat. Now, some of those ships in the Alaskan ferry system are huge. The Chilcat, not so much. Some of those vessels in that Alaskan ferry system are, I mean, they are ginormous. They are deck upon deck upon deck upon deck, and they are just beautiful, and you don't even know you're in the water. Not so much the Chilcat. I mean, you can park your vehicle down in the bottom of that ship, climb this spiraling staircase, and go into the main rooms up in the top, and there are restaurants, and there are lounges, and there are places where you can nap, and I mean, it's just fabulous. Not the Chilcat. You can park your vehicle in the bottom of the Chilcat, and you climb a little narrow stairway, and when you get up on top, there is a set of bleachers on this side and a set of bleachers on that side. And you can see the captain, amen, through the window right there on your right or on your left, whichever side you're sitting on, steering the boat. The Chilcat is a flat-bottom boat. I don't even know if it's still out there, but amen. It is just a flat-bottom boat, and they keep it really in between the channels so that it is always sheltered from the open ocean. Except on the trip from Ketchikan to the island of Prince of Wales. On that trip, there is about a 3-mile stretch. Now, mind you, we're not going really fast on the Chilcat here. And there's about a 3-mile stretch that is open to the ocean. I've never been seasick. But that challenged my faith. I got set down on the bleachers, and when we hit that open water, all you could see was daylight. And all you could see was water. And we rocked back and forth. I mean, you could watch the water leave. You could see the sky all the way to the sunshine and then back down to the depths of the water. I was never so happy in my life to get off of a boat. Such was my experience with the Chilcat. And when God began to put this message upon my heart, I began to think of that, of that experience. Here are these men, for days they have been out in the water. Amen. They are surrounded by nothing but the depths of the sea. They are in the storm of their life, something that they cannot control. In the midst of the waves and in the midst of the turmoil, the Apostle Paul stands up on the bow of the deck and he says, amen, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Before we ever left port. You know, I'm not a told you so kind of guy, but I guess the Apostle Paul was. He said, I told you we should have never left. But he says, I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but the ship ain't gonna make it. He said, last night, an angel of God, an angel, amen, of the God whom I serve and who I belong to stood by me saying, fear not, Paul, amen, he has given you all that sail with you. And he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer because I believe God. We may be going through it, but I believe what God said. Nobody's going to lose their life and nobody's going to die, but the ship's going to be lost. Get ready to swim. Hello? What a wonderful promise. Right in the middle of their storm, God sends an angel to the side of Paul and says, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I know exactly, amen, where you're at. And just so you know, a child of God, everything is going to be all right. Good news. Can you say amen? I don't know about you this morning. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what your storm is. I don't know what your trouble is. But what I do know this morning is that God is faithful and that we serve a God, amen, that knows who you are and he knows where you are and he knows what you are going through. And you're going to make it. Amen. While the wind continued to blow, a storm began to continue to rage and the ship began to continue to rock. Paul is walking the deck saying, be of good cheer. What? Be of good cheer. I mean, if you read that 27th chapter, they were throwing stuff overboard, trying to lighten the boat. They were trying to get rid of some stuff. Amen. Trying to survive. And Paul is walking the deck saying, be of good cheer. Everything's going to be all right. Somebody shut that preacher up. He has lost his mind. And then here's where the story gets really interesting because the situation doesn't get any better. It goes from bad to worse. How many of you ever had a promise from God, amen, tucked down in your spirit, and the angel of the Lord showed up in your life and said, I got you, everything going to be all right. And everything, instead of getting better, just went from bad to worse. Hello? I mean, we're expecting sunshine, we're expecting the wind to quit blowing, we're expecting the waves to calm down, and it just continues. I've been there. Amen. I've been there. I've had the Spirit of the Lord give me a word in my heart and tell me that everything was going to be all right. And from the looks of it, everything just continued to go south. Everything just continued to fall apart while I continued to believe. This is not your typical happy ending story. Things went from bad to worse. And in Paul's life, the worst was yet to come. Amen. The Bible says, and you can read it there in that 27th chapter, that for 14 days after Paul makes the proclamation, be of good cheer, everything's going to be okay, 14 days, they are still under the grip of the storm. Can you imagine being on a vessel of that nature, in a storm of that nature, for 14 days, literally every day, wondering if it was your last. Wondering if it was your last. They had thrown everything overboard. They had done everything that they knew how to do. And just about the time the boat is about to smash into the rocks, the sailors said, I got a plan. We are going to let down the lifeboat, and if this ship is going to be lost, then we are going to escape in the lifeboats. Sounds like a good plan. Can you say amen? Sounds like wisdom. And Paul says to the guard, don't let any of them get out of this ship. They cannot be saved if they do not stay in the boat. They will lose their life if they do not stay in the boat. Look at verse 31. Paul said to the guard of the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. They've got to remain in the boat. They've got to remain in the vessel. Beloved, you may be sitting here this morning and you're making your plans to get out of your storm. Amen. And if you find yourself going through a storm, it's been rough. It is rough. And you feel like you're about to jump ship. I came to tell you this morning, you gotta stay in the boat to be saved. Amen. Stay in the principles of God. Amen. If you jump ship now, you're going to wind up hurt and brokenhearted. You're going to wind up alone and without the Lord. You've got to stay in the boat. Amen. We may be required to swim before it's over with, but God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to require you to stay in the vessel, and the vessel may crash, but God's got your back, and he'll see you to the shore. Hallelujah. Scripture declares that if we put our faith and our trust in God, that he will save us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6, one of my favorite verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Psalms 125, verse number 1 and verse number 2, the scripture said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed and abides forever. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth and even forevermore. Psalms 27 and verse number 1, amen, said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, amen, and my foes come up against me, they stumbled and they fell. And the writer of that psalm said, though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though they wage war against me, even in this shall I be confident. Why? Because he said, God's got my back. Hallelujah. Psalms 32 and 7. Thou, O Lord, art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about. Amen. How many of you know compass me about means just surround? Thou shalt surround me with songs of deliverance. Look at the person sitting next to you and tell them God's, amen, got your back, but you got to stay in the boat. Amen. God's got your back, but you got to stay in the vessel. You got to stay in the boat. You got to stay true to God. You got to stay true to the principles of God. I know you're making your... Amen. Your route of escape. But brother, you're going to wind up hurt and alone. But you got to stay in God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what they did? They believed the preacher this time. They believed the preacher this time. Here they are lowering the lifeboats going, women and children first. Baloney! I'm getting on board and getting out of here. Paul said, you can't. You need to stay in the boat or you'll be lost. And they went, you know, he was right about that not sailing business. I think we better listen to him this time. And the Bible said they cut the lifeboats free. And they floated away. And they were still on the boat. They were still in the ship. It didn't get any better. The wind still blew. The waves still roared. And now the ship, boom, the front of it got stuck in a sandbar. And the front of the ship couldn't go anywhere. And the back of the ship was ripped off by the water. And the captain of the guard said, everybody that can swim, jump in the water and swim for the shore. Those of you that can't swim, grab a hold of a piece of wood. Paddle that way. And they all dove into the water. I said, sometimes God does not just step out on the bow of our ship in the midst of our storm and say, peace be still. No, sometimes we are required to swim. Sometimes we are required to swim. Listen to me for a moment this morning. God knew exactly where they were. Amen. And he even sent an angel to tell them everything's going to be all right. Amen. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God knows exactly who you are and exactly where you are. Amen. And he's sending you a word right now this morning. Everything's going to be all right. It may not get better today, but if you'll be faithful to God, you may have to swim, but God will see you safely to the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. They all dive into the water and they begin to swim. Saints of God, there may be times in our storms that God says, peace be still. And we appreciate those. Amen. When he brings resolve immediately. But there are also some times, amen, when God does not say, peace be still. He does not remove the storm. He does not take us around the storm. But he brings us right through the middle of it all. Amen. And then he requires us to swim. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, he requires us to hang on to our faith. He requires us to say, though all of hell rage against me, I still believe God. It may look like I'm going down. I may be thrashing at the water, and I may just barely be keeping my head above the water, but I'm going to be okay because God said I'm going to be all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you are here this morning and you feel like you are going through the storm of your life. Amen. I'm here to tell you, swim. Swim. Keep your faith. Keep yourself anchored in the Lord. Amen. Tell the Lord, I'm hurting, but I'm swimming. I'm broken, but I'm swimming. I'm confused and maybe even dazed, but I'm still swimming. Amen. I may not be everything that I should be, Lord, but I'm still swimming. I still got my hand in your hand. Amen. I'm not out of the water yet, but I'm still swimming. My boat may be broken up and the waves have scattered it ever which way, but oh God, my faith is anchored in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you read the tail end of that chapter, chapter 27, you will read that they were required to swim. I said you may be required to swim, but if you read the tail end of that chapter, you will read that all 276 of them made it ashore. Not one individual was lost. God saw them safely to dry land. Beloved, let me just share with you this morning as I close. You may be going through a stormy time in your life. You may be feeling like you've got your way out planned. Cut the lifeboat free. That ain't the option. You take that route and you're going to end up perishing, but stay anchored in Christ. Stay anchored in the Lord. The ship may break apart and you may be required to swim, but if you do it God's way, you'll do it the safe way. If you do it God's way, you'll end up in the right place. Amen. He does not always say, peace be still. Sometimes we have to swim, thrashing at the water, trying to stay afloat. Lord, I'm struggling, but I believe. Lord, I'm struggling, but I believe. I may be hurting, but I believe. I may be feeling like I'm going under, but I'm doing everything that I can to remain on top. I'm striving. God says, I got you back. I'll see you safely to the shore. You may be required to swim, but he will see you safely to the shoreline. Bow your heads, please, this morning. I know in my spirit today, that there are some of you that are struggling in your storm. There are some of you this morning that are struggling with your waves, your wind. The ship feels like it's coming apart. I'm here to tell you this morning, God may not always simply just dismiss your storm. You may be required to swim, but he will. He will see you safely to the other side if you will remain in the boat. Remain in the principles of God. Remain obedient to the word of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I know that you are speaking to hearts this morning. I ask, oh God, that you would touch hearts and lives with this word. Help us to understand that you are a faithful God. Help us to understand that you do not always dismiss our storms. But there are times that we must swim. But that you have not forsaken us. You have not forsaken us. That you are with us, and Lord, that we have your promise that we will indeed make it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Are you here in this place this morning? And you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you needed to speak this word just for me today. I see that hand and that hand and that hand all over the building this morning. Praise God Almighty. Stay in the boat. Don't jump ship. All conventional wisdom says get in the lifeboat and head out. But that ain't God's way. Stay in the boat. Stay faithful to the Lord. Watch God continue to work things out. Oh, you may have to thrash at the water. You may have to struggle to keep your head above the water. But he'll see you to the shore. You just got to keep your faith anchored in God. Hands lifted all over the building. Stand to your feet this morning if you would, please. Amen, amen, amen. Spirit of the Lord, just keep saying, have them come. All right. Amen. If you lifted your hand, just step out and come right here. Right here in the front. You slipped up your hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Those of you that are remaining in your seats, raise your hands toward these that have come today. Just begin to pray for them. The Bible said that we are to pray one for another. Pray for them right now this morning. Oh, sweet, sweet Lamb of God. Mandoraba shikotoraba hasataralolobo kushata. My Father, in Jesus' name, every single individual that has come, that has acknowledged you in their storm, Lord, the wind may blow and you may not say, peace, be still. But you may require us to swim right now. Lord, we're swimming right now. Lord, we're saying our faith is anchored in you, oh God. We look to you, our deliverance. We look to you, our strong tower. We look to you, our mighty God. Lord, see us safely to the shore this morning. See us safely to the shore this morning. I know we battle. I know we struggle. But, oh, God, there is nothing, amen, too hard for you this morning. Keep us afloat. Reach down. Lift us up from the rocking boat. Lift us up from the waves. Lift us up above the shadows. Lift us up above the storm. And, oh, God, keep our faith strong and anchored in you. In the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.